one man will refuse to abandon his standards for action. All April long, Apocalypse Video is celebrating the best of high-flying, show-stopping thrills from the 90s.
Sir, pull up! You got one on your tail!
Get him off my tail!
Everything from Air Force One to Con Air.
How the hell did this happen? How the hell did they get Air Force One?
Political thrillers to skydiving escapades.
Go for the tires!
Fuck the tires! I'm going for the pilot!
All the action you could want from the decade that excelled in lighting up the skies. On the third episode of Air Pool, U.S. Marshal Pete Nessip is out for revenge for the death of his partner and brother by crazed former DEA agent Ty Moncrief. But in order to fulfill his vengeance, he'll have to take to the skies and master the most extreme sport of all in John Badham's skydiving action thrill ride, Drop Zone. Strap in and hold on for the ride of your life, as Apocalypse Video brings you Air Pool.
What I'm offering you, no one else in the world can provide. No one else.
$2 million a month. For the operations and names of every undercover agent in the world. And I'm willing to prove it by doing it one time for free.
In a world of high-tech secrets, the survival of justice is at stake.
The whole system's going down.
And all that stands between anarchy and order is one man.
You got evidence, make your case to the FBI. You're gonna have to do better than this Ty Moncrief fella. He's DEA.
Moncrief is DEA?
We tested your free sample and decided we want more.
God bless America.
This is a hijacking! Put your hands down! Go! Go!
It was a setup.
A what?
A setup.
What are you saying, Nesca?
If you want my help, 15,000.
15,000?
What do you care anyway? It's the government's money.
The other U.S. Marshal
has acquired some information.
I'm impressed. Not with you. The other Marshal.
A 747 at 500 knots could rip a jumper clear apart.
A C4 explosive, flashbang residue. Whew, this is serious guacamole.
It means I'm in the right place.
You are way out of your league, way out.
Paramount Pictures presents.
These people are killers. You leave the cop stuff to me.
The year's most exciting thriller.
They're not gonna find who I'm looking for down here, right?
So I gotta go up there.
Stage one is complete. Stay focused.
Okay, we're into the game.
5 minutes to exit, right on schedule.
Wesley Snipes.
Well, the schedule's gonna change.
Drop Zone.
Okay, has everyone checked their packs? Everything's good?
Good to go.
All right.
Let's do it!
I love that this movie opens with electric guitar. It really sets the tone and the setting. Like, this is the 90s.
Soundtrack is Hans Zimmer found a Stratocaster.
This can I point out something real quick on the Wikipedia? It's the most fascinating thing about the Wikipedia on there. It's under music. So this was done by Hans Zimmer, the score for this movie. You know, probably arguably one of the most successful, well-known film composers of the modern age. He's done Dune. He's done the Nolan Batman movies. He's done a ton of notable stuff. Apparently, his score for Drop Zone is listed as one of his favorites.
Oh,
Drop
cool.
Zone. This is him talking. Drop Zone was written just for fun. Yeah, I was being reckless. Nothing to prove, nothing to lose. The director was just happy I was working with him. Remember, I come from rock and roll. At the same time, I grew up with classical music, so I'm always torn between the two.
Oh,
I should probably say it like this.
Shut up,
In Drop Zone, I could do both, and it never hurt.
You know, with some scores, you come away with a lot of scars.
Oh,
in
God.
In Drop Zone, there weren't any. It was just a blast.
He's like reading like the poster. Nothing to prove and nothing to lose.
Some scores, you come away with
it
a lot of scars.
It was just a blast.
Shut up, Hans Zimmer. Tell that to a coal miner.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. Like, no shade to Hans Zimmer for this, but like, I didn't think the score was too much to write home about. I mean, it was certainly 90s, but...
The score is Hans Zimmer and a case of Bud Light hold himself in a room.
That sounds great. They could do that, you know?
Bam, for this movie, that's fine.
Wow.
This movie, like I said, it really sets the scene. Like, we'll get into it. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again. I got my long 90s blonde hair, my mullet going. I'm joined again by fellow skydivers, Mike.
If you want to talk to me, you're either a skydiver or a cop. And you don't look like no skydiver.
Do you see the pinball machine in that skydiver bar? I wanted to play that.
No,
it was
didn't.
The game show. Bally's the game show. Anyway, we're also joined by Ryan.
This is a weird read from Busey, but 9/11 isn't going to work for him.
Oh my God! Okay,
I'm like, what did Gary know?
I don't know, but I'm saying like, I think you should say
9/11.
9/11. I think he's supposed to say.
Yeah,
he's
no one
to
called
say
it 9/11,
but yeah, he straight up says 9/11 ain't going to work for him.
At first, I was like, what do you mean by that? Oh, 9-1-1.
I did like a Leo gif when he said that.
Woo! Cool move. How about you see that? 9-11's not going to work for him. What you just saw there can happen to any one of you. Our skydiving team is now 4 strong. No problems with that.
He's reading the script. Like, someone didn't word it in the script right. No one corrected it. Anyway,
that almost makes it sound like in the script they put 9 and then like a slash 11 rather than 9-1-1.
Or he probably would have been like, it was like, yeah, probably 9-1-1 probably or something like that, you know? And they should have typed it out. They should have, or like 9.
Do you think that
sounds, yeah, they knew they were working right. With Gary Busey. They should have phonetically spelled out every line of dialogue. Yeah.
This reminds me of Kevin Sorbo like reading the direction in the Hercules script rather than really
disappointed.
You know, like, disappointed.
I also had as one of my quotes, just because I was like, wow, they literally said this in a movie. You know the standard SOP on this: give me your badge and your gun.
yeah.
It's rare we get the literal line of "Give me your badge and your gun."
Give me your badge and your gun.
What? Board of Review is looking at this in 2 weeks.
Board of Review.
To determine yours and Terry's responsibility for the accident.
What responsibility?
Pete, listen to me. The FAA and the airlines in the middle of a goddamn firestorm with the media, insurance companies, relatives of dead passengers. Nobody wants to hear about skydiving. Skydiving from 747s. They're looking to point fingers at somebody, and you and Terry are it. Don't you understand that? Now, you know the SOP on this. I have to ask you for your badge and your gun.
What, you suspending me?
Pete, please. You know the rules. Give me your badge and your gun, please.
I gotta hand it to this movie. It gets right into it, setting the 90s-ness of it all, and jumping to the plane and skydiving. This movie is all about skydiving.
This is so good. This is like, this is something that, you know, I didn't know anything going into this movie, and the slow realization that this is gonna be one of those movies that imagines what if there was a whole community
subculture
exactly, like this is it's very Point
like
Break,
totally fake, yeah,
like, yeah, but yes. Yeah, there is no world in which there is a underground skydiving community that is as portrayed in this. I mean, maybe there is, who knows, but I'm strongly suspect that is has never been the case.
There's a whole bar in Florida in this movie that's a skydiver's bar, to the point where if anyone who comes in is not a skydiver, they beat up.
Well, I'm just saying, it's all schlubs and hot babes is what it is. It's like, like, I was literally like, I was like, that's a good idea for a song, like schlubs with hot babes or something like that. And that's all it was, the whole bar.
In my mind, skydivers are like between 20 and 30. They smoke a lot of weed, play a lot of hacky sack.
Yeah, and they're real thin and like just like beautiful people with long hair and stuff. And
They probably talk about Birkenstocks.
That's pretty much. That's who. When I jumped out of a plane, it was definitely a guy like that.
You've drop zoned.
I've drop zoned my life. Yeah.
We got to get into that. I don't know right now, but we got to get into that during this episode.
When you landed, did you have the same reaction that Wesley Snipes does in this movie? Wow! Wow! That was awesome! Woo!
Woo! Woo! Yeah! Woo! Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! I love it. I love it. What a ride. What a ride.
Can I just say, like, right off the bat, I just want to get this out of the way. The Wesley Snipes of it all, like, I feel like one of the things that is really not working about this movie is his character, depending on the scene he's in, he's either John Wick or he's like
a nerd
comedic relief.
Yeah,
like,
I wanted to talk. Yeah, I thought that too.
He's not working in this movie.
He can't.
And it's a shame because when we watched Passenger 57, one of the big notes we had of as far as positives was Snipes.
Yeah, he's good. He's been in good stuff. I don't even know if it's him. Maybe it is, but it's like the character.
It is
in fact
Wesley Snipes. Just spoiler alert.
No. I mean, like, I don't know if this is the direction he was given or what, but it's like the character is different depending on the scene it's in.
Scenes,
it's like there's two different characters that he's playing.
Sometimes it's like he's like in Miami Vice, like real cool.
Yeah, sometimes he's like the coolest man who's ever lived, and then some other times he's like just
like bumbling,
comedic
almost.
Relief, bumbling idiot. Yeah.
It is strange. Well, we already talked about why we're doing Drop Zone, right? Other than the plane stuff.
I don't think we did. Oh, is there a reason besides there's a plane?
There's a spark.
Well, it's Airpool. I mean, that's kind of the big reason,
right.
Airpool.
Well, no, there was how we came up on Drop Zone, though. Because there was a whole, we talked about this for years. Remember, like,
the Passenger 57 episode, I think years before that, it's kind of become lore. Ryan, why don't you give a brief little?
It's not even barely. It's barely not even like story, but really, it was just that. Back in the old times, when before the the wastelands, there was a hotel in Las Vegas called the Planet Hollywood, and in each room at the Planet Hollywood was themed to a movie. And usually there's like a couple posters on the wall kind of thing. And the one time I've stayed in Planet Hollywood, it was in the Drop Zone hotel room.
Which is just mind-boggling that how many rooms do you have before you're like, which room for 392?
There's probably like 300 rooms in that hotel. You know, it's a big place. There's way more, you know. But so it was those, and there was, I don't think there was props or anything, but it was like a thing where like, what's Drop Zone? Like, oh, there's Snipes and stuff. And
like, this, like, movie is not, I mean, we'll maybe mention this later, but this was not a, like, massive success.
This doesn't exist. This, like, if you look on, like, the most popular movies Leslie Snipes have been in, this is way down the list.
It probably, once you account for advertising, it probably didn't even make its money back.
Well, it's shocking. I went on, because watching this movie, you know, like, so we'll get into the plot, we'll get into the good, the bad. As we mentioned, the bad is Wesley Snipes. I don't know if it's bad direction or what. His character goes between bumbling and, like said, John Wick. That's a problem. But if in terms of the production of this movie and the stunt work, it is pretty good in those things. I mean,
they have skydivers that they filmed.
When you look at the budget, this cost $45 million, which for 1994 is pretty damn big.
It's $1 billion. That's what Avatar 2 cost.
Yeah, it ended up grossing $64 million. So it did well, but when you consider the budget was $45 million, it's like, that's not great.
Yeah, am I right to assume that if the budget was 45 and it made 64, it probably didn't make its money back or made its money back?
I'm sure it did with video rentals and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if Planet Hollywood is leasing its name for
was this
for,
a popular one back in the...
or whatever.
Well, I know that this isn't really one that we get checked out at the store too much, but back in the day when you guys worked at Hollywood, was this one that...
No. Like, the thing is, okay, looking at, like, the old...
Is that part of everyone's duties for the week is, like, remember to dust off the copy of Drop Zone we have that never gets checked out?
No one ever decides to rent it. Like, never, like, it was one of those things, like, the first time I've heard of it, and, like, my head, when I remember this hotel was, like, is that, like, Operation Dumbo Drop? Like, do you remember that? I was thinking, is that? And then when we watched Passenger 57, I was like, oh, I thought this is not the same movie as Drop Zone.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at his letter box, and you can sort it by popularity. and I even hid short films because it's in the bad music video. And it is the 26th most popular movie of it. I couldn't name probably like 8 Wesley Snipes movies. And this is 26th. So I'm just saying.
Really?
Wesley Wipes wow. movie.
Well, no, I probably could remember maybe more, but I'm just saying, like, it's like I'm looking at this and this list, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot he's in all this stuff.
I mean, you got the Blades. But, those are easy.
Yeah, like there's like the Blades and, you know, of course, like, you know, which was before this or was it after the
Demolition Man
jump.
The yeah, like Tu Wong Fu and stuff like that.
Tu Wong Fu, Major League.
Yeah, like Demolition Man, you know, Coming to America. Yeah, like those are like the big ones, you know.
The Art of War.
Yeah,
and then, like, I remember seeing that at the video. Sorry,
he's like the second lead in U.S. Marshals too, like the Fugitive sequel and stuff.
Oh yeah,
but, which is a U.S. Marshal, which he's in this too.
Oh, the really good Dolomite Is My Name. He's in that. He's great in that.
Yeah, Money Train. I never we talked about that when he did White Man Can't Jump. It's kind of funny because we have done a few Snipes, and then also I realized too that this isn't the first John Bottom movie that we've done either.
Yeah, no. Saturday Night Fever's John Bottom.
Yeah, pretty. This guy is a pretty big director. At least
there's some names behind this, the making of this movie. We mentioned Hans Zimmer. I mean, this was early Hans Zimmer, but again, this would be the same year Hans Zimmer would work on Lion King.
Wow, that's crazy.
And also, and one name I noted, the production designer of this movie is Joe Alves, who is also the production designer on a little film named Jaws.
Wow. Well, it's funny, too, look at the right screenplay. This name
that
is
too.
Peter Boscuni was one of the screenplay writers, and he went on to write the High School Musical movies.
The cinematographer did a few Quantum Leap episodes.
Wow.
I saw that. Yeah.
So some decent pedigree behind this movie. It's just like,
you're right.
Again,
the production looked pretty good.
The stunt work was great. I mean, I would say the insert shots was because evidently they couldn't afford to insure the stars to skydive.
Yeah.
Ironically, the only star in the movie who skydives was Michael Jeter, the dorky computer hacker guy. He did.
Is he the guy with the hair? The like probably the worst hair that may have ever been committed to film.
He's been
like
lots of stuff.
His balding, but he has like patches of hair.
We've seen
that
him
are
before
like
in Waterworld.
He has a crazy career. He's an Air Bud. He's the guy that steals the
that's song. Right, I forgot about that.
He's the guy that tries to I think so, isn't he in First Kid and tries to shoot the first kid and that's a different guy. Never
that's mind. A different guy.
And Sinbad tries to jumps in front of the bullet. I'm mixing it up with Air Bud. I think I'm
looking
episode
at
episode First Kid.
I'm looking at his credits. He was also in Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
Really?
Did we do Sister Act? We only did the first
one. just the first one. He was in Jurassic Park 3.
I remember
the
that,
Polar
yeah.
Express. Wow.
Yeah, that guy's had a pretty good career.
Yeah, he's in lots of stuff.
Yeah, like a lot of people. Yeah, like so this movie has pedigree behind it. It's got people in it. Busey.
It's got people.
It's got people.
Busey, yeah.
Wesley Snipes, you know.
Snipes, you know, at the top of his game, you know, he's just off of Demolition Man, so he's going good at this point.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of falling off, but then he comes back with Blade, I think, and then then he gets in trouble for...
But is this him falling off? I mean, is this the moment where he drops?
I was trying to think of, like, I think he isn't as interesting as a straight man, I think, Wesley Snipes, in movies, in my opinion.
Like, he excels at being the crazy guy, I think.
I think so too.
He has to be the crazy guy. I think he's good as the John Wick-esque, like just, you know, cool badass. It's just like in this, like when he is like that, it works for me. I don't think he does so well as the bumbling idiot, but that also might just be this movie, like where
it's a little bit of a movie where they like are piecing pieces together of they like cool ideas and stuff with like
I think what it is on the one hand they want him to be like the cool badass cop character, but on the other hand they want him to be the fish out of water in the skydiving community character. Yeah.
Well, they want to do Point Break for skydiving. The problem is Point Break had skydiving too.
Yeah, it is this to me. Like, my big takeaway with this movie is this totally feels like a coked out executive movie. Like, saw Point Break and was like, get John Badham on the phone. What if we did Point Break, but it's all skydiving?
Yeah.
And then this movie was made.
It's so funny, yeah. Or like there was probably a lot, you know, with extreme sports. They're like, we need to do this. We need to do surfing. Yeah. We need to do skateboarding or whatever, or bikes and stuff. It's very much falls on that, but nobody remembers this at all. Like, I don't know. This is a movie that just doesn't exist one bit, I feel like.
And, you know, honestly, I think it could be remembered decently as like a fun B movie you rent at the video store with friends, get some pizza, beers, if Snipes was allowed to be either John Wick Snipes or full fish out of water Snipes. Like, you got to pick one, because when it's both,
I do have one other problem, though, that I think there's two fatal flaws of this movie. That is one of them. The Wesley Snipes is big pillar one.
It kills something's it. Wrong. He's the hero of the
I think
movie
the other pillar, and Ryan, you might correct me if I'm wrong here, because I might be wrong in this. You know more about this than I do. I feel like this is the worst edited movie we've seen in a while. Like, I feel like it's just kind of messy. Like, the pacing of the scenes is just kind of like, it's messy. Like, it doesn't feel like it ever gets into a groove.
It's not like, I can see that. I guess I didn't really think of like his editing, but yeah, I guess it does. You're right. It doesn't have like something like driving it, really. Like, it was either I was kind of in or out. Like, I wasn't right. I wasn't necessarily like flowing with it. But I think there's a lot kind of. I mean, it's a sort of thing where like you're like, some of this stuff really is like interesting, and you're like, well, I quite haven't seen like that before, and then you kind of get like thrown out when it's like edited to like an insert shot of like them skydiving, like the celeb, or even like the shots of them, like the actors on the side of the plane like talking to each other. That feels weird and cheap, where because like, well, one thing, you would not be able to, they have to be yelling, I mean, I'm like really loud to be able to hear each other on that plane, you know.
Yeah, Ryan, how do you know that?
Because I've been there, and you can't hear shit up there.
Let's get into it. How many times have you dropped?
I've only dropped once. I was like, you dropped 18, 19 jumps.
So did you do any of the moves? Like, did you like get rid of your parachute and go like full down, and someone had to come and get you and grab you and then deploy there?
But the thing is like, this is before GoPros, and so another guy jumps out with you too, and you get to see another guy. That's the cool part.
Did the other guy, when so this was so long ago, did the other guy, did he have a whole film camera set up?
It wasn't film, but it was.
Was there another guy cranking the camera?
There were two guys. There was the camera assistant and a guy that were next to each. No, but it was, so that made you feel like drop zone, like seeing another guy like next, like right in front of you, you know, kind of stuff. That was fun.
Yeah.
It was. It's funny because I, at the time, I was like, I got to do that. But I don't think I would do it again now at all. But then if someone asks, like, would I go to space? And I'm like, yeah, I probably would. So it's like one of those things, like, I don't know, like, I'd need to turn it up. But it'd be too scary.
I think that the problem, so we mentioned Snipes. also, one problem that this movie has, I think you're onto something with the editing, because, like, Snipes jumps out of the so the plot of the movie, to get into it, Snipes is a U.S. Marshal. Him and his brother Michael Jamal Warner, they play Terry and I think it's
Pete. It was good to
Pete
see him.
Nips.
It's a weird name, and I remember them thinking like, there's a part where he's like Pete's over there. Like, this is like very. It's just weird him being Pete. Doesn't seem like a Wesley Snipes name. I don't know why. But.
So they're U.S. Marshals, and they're transferring this computer hacker guy on a 747, like a passenger 747 plane, to like a Supermax prison, because he's like a guy that's like, you know, super great hacker and stuff. Gary Busey and his guys get on the plane. Gary Busey full on poses as like Clark Kent in the beginning of this movie. And they somehow are able
He does, though. Like, did you guys notice, like, when he tells the flight attendant, he's like, oh, ma'am, can I get some water? I'm afraid of flying. He like aggressively grabs her.
Yep.
I don't know if that's Gary Busey, or maybe it's like a hint of like, maybe this guy's gross. Like, it,
or both. You
know. Well, he's setting up cover too a little bit. But I didn't expect, for some reason. Well, for one thing, I didn't expect skydiving as much in this. I thought maybe it was going to be like a military movie, like a like a drop thing. And then I'm like, oh my god, another like harrowing. I wasn't here for the Air Force One, but another heroin hijacking thing.
I thought that this movie was going to be all like the other airplane movies we've seen that are all basically taking place on a plane and
like a hijacking.
It's a Die Hard on a plane. I thought this was going to be another Die Hard on a plane. I was really surprised when we were like on the ground. After, you know, it was just this beginning sequence.
It's not a hijacking. It's I guess like a kidnapping, or they're like
They keep saying
it's
prison break.
Fake hijacking.
That's what's confusing. They say prison break, but they're on a passenger jet.
Well, it's
so convoluted.
That has to be the pitch. Is that it's because they say it so many times. They're like, it's a prison break on a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
like, that's what they were pitching there so many times. Like, to the,
it's a prison break on a plane.
And then they eventually figured that out with Con Air.
I guess that's just too similar. Yeah.
It morphed into Con Air a few
all
years
these
after
movies,
this.
Yeah, they're all sharing. There's not much you can do with planes.
Yeah, Con Air really drop zone walk so Con Air could run.
It's like
really.
Air Force One and Con Air and this and Passenger 57. Like you're like there's like one thing you do on these.
Well,
movies.
So this is yeah. So they're kidnapping this guy and the idea is they're gonna like blow up the thing and then they're gonna jump out and they're gonna blame it, I guess, on the U.S. Marshals.
Yeah, it's kind of convoluted, but
yes, I thought this was confusing.
They're kind of like trying to make it look like the U.S. Marshals. There was this hijacking and the U.S. Marshals caused the explosion, and that way they didn't show there's all these people that like stole this guy.
Yeah, everyone. I remember this movie. I'll just say like, I don't. I said my two problems with the movie are Wesley Snipes and the editing. Lesser extent, I honestly don't care that much how much of a mess the plot is, but it is just a mess.
It's a little bit.
Like
yeah.
like and it, right off the bat, there's a lot of
A hijacking on a plane? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Well, there's a couple scenes where they're like telling the Wesley Snipes character, who's again like our hero, the good U.S. Marshal. They're like, "You overreacted. Like you went crazy up there." And I'm like, "How? What was he supposed to do?"
But that would say
this weird thing that the movie does, where it's like nobody else on the plane saw hijackers.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
They take someone hostage.
What about the lady who got sucked out of the plane and died?
I know. I would say that stuff is pretty, you know, like when they just start like I think there's like a stewardess like point blank and just get shot like right in like the like they just
there's a few people who just get like the Gary Busey crew is quick to kill in this movie.
Yeah.
And I'd say it's pretty freaky, and it's almost like crazy than like the Lost crap, like a plane ripoff.
We should say I mentioned earlier the budget for this movie was $45 million. I would assume a good deal of it went to this sequence because it is genuinely like harrowing.
It is also like I actually rewound. Sorry everyone, I had to like rewind and watch this again while we're watching it, but I it's so quick where they go from like. They're all undercover, you know, the terrorists. I mean, they're all like undercover to we've taken over the plane and we have guns and everything. And I was like, how did they get the guns? And
it's like, the tray.
It was like, so someone must have gotten on the plane before them to like put gun parts in the tray area of the seats. Like,
did they mention that? I don't know. They talked about like that they didn't have metal parachutes. So
they talk about the parachutes, but I don't think they ever explain like how they got smuggled the automatic weapons
plane. That's so funny. I didn't think of that at all. Because
it's literally like a hollowed out. Like he takes the seat back down, and there's just like guns in there.
Yeah, well they're gun parts, and they assemble them. I rewound it because I was wondering like, is this just the 90s, and they just brought guns onto the plane? But no, they did clearly like have to like do some MacGyvering of some stuff that was already on the plane.
Realize he had to MacGyver his gun. I assumed it was just a fully assembled gun hidden in this tray back. This sequence is pretty amazing. Like the door gets blown out and people get sucked out, and it looks good and terrifying.
Like the far, even the wide shots of the plane outside,
they
like
look pretty good.
It looks good, I think.
Yeah. It looks so much better than later on when we see the shot of Wesley Snipes being like ejected from a plane. That's probably the worst effect shot in the movie. Where Wesley Snipes
are bad.
It's the scene where Wesley Snipes is like sitting. I think it's the first time he's dropped, and it's like an overhead shot,
yeah.
And they
that
like release the ground.
Yeah, dropped the trap door kind
of. Yeah, thing. Yeah, the trap door.
Oh yes.
You are way out of your league up here, cowboy. Way out.
You know, I hear you talking all this stuff about skill. You're so good. How come you're still working in this shithole?
What?
But you need to be hooked on phonics? Shithole. Shithole.
Hey! Well, he paid for one jump. I might as well give him one.
For Christ's sake, just go get him, okay?
Oh, all right.
But I would say that I do love the inserts of Busey and the parachute, though. I don't know. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Like, there is a scene in the movie later when, like, they discover that, like, a kid on the plane was able to ID one of the hijackers. He's like, well, I gotta kill this guy now. So later on in the movie, so they hijack they get the computer guy, and they're gonna use him in a series of robberies.
Who's the computer guy's name?
They're gonna steal information of undercover agents in various agencies and sell it to the highest bidder.
Earl.
That's kind of their plot in the movie. And throughout the movie, they're practicing, like, all right, we're going to take this computer hacker guy. We're going to go on a bunch of different test jumps to get, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to jump out of a plane, like parachute down onto these facilities, and he's going to run in real quick and steal the information. We're going to get out. And part of that is training. And in one of these training jumps, this is after Busey finds out that one of their team was ID'd by a girl on the plane. He's like, let me come with you on this jump. And he proceeds to have what may be one of the craziest scenes of a villain killing one of his henchmen I've ever seen.
I loved this scene. This is maybe the best part of the movie.
It's so stupid.
It feels sort of like it feels Austin Powers type stuff.
Yes!
I'm saying this movie, when you're talking about like the tone and the rhythm of it, it's because like this movie is all over the place with its tone and stuff. Yeah. And that's Wesley is part of that too, you know? So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So did we say like, the beginning of this movie.
We're going to see what happens here, Mike.
Well, I'm just saying, I just want to make sure we set this up right. So the beginning scene of the movie, I just want to make sure we said like, it's basically Gary Busey's crew is getting Earl, who's the like super smart hacker guy. They're getting him extracted. So they've done that. And then, the rest of the movie is basically training for the big heist.
And then also they killed
they killed Wesley Snipes' brother. They killed Malcolm Jawal Warner, RIP.
Yeah.
And he gets sucked out of the plane. And I got to admit, we get a great, no!
Yeah! No! So they're training, and that's basically the movie, right? They're training, and then also Wesley Snipes is like infiltrating the skydiving community.
You're talking about the badge. He gets kicked off the marshals and does it. He's in it on himself.
That's right. Yeah. So Wesley Snipes is like going at rogue. He's the rogue cop who's like got to get it done.
Find
or whatever.
Out who killed my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
then,
so
yeah,
so yeah,
ID
so
girl,
that, so yeah, girl IDs one of the crew. So Gary Busey has to get rid of the liability. So they're doing the drop. Gary Busey like asks to get involved.
I'll just come along. I'll tag along on this one.
I know how this ends. I know how this ends. Can someone remind me like how this sequence begins?
Want to set up like imagine like if these were like surfers or like this is like the Team Rocket crew, you know, and their house is like on the beach or it looks like it's like a swamp, and I'm saying like it looks like it's very 90s.
Team Rocket,
very
Team
Rocket Channel original
Pokemon.
Movie.
Are you thinking of Rocket Power?
Yeah, Rocket Power. What'd I say?
Team Rocket. That's Pokemon.
Yeah, Rocket Power. Like, yeah, the team Rocket from Rocket Power, you know. And I'm saying like it's like that crew, and they live in the team Rocket Power's house and stuff. And it's like there's all those shots of like, you know, it's like Miami, like the beaches or like the big bridges and all this stuff. So that's like the
Everglades.
Don't they like literally say like the location is Drop Zone, Florida?
Oh, dude, I did the Leo GIF multiple times. I'm like, there's actual drop zones in this movie.
Yeah, they're living in Drop Zone, Miami, Florida.
And so while they're doing that damn like test run, they're fucking around on the parachutes where like the one guy is like, puts like his legs on the girl that's on the teams, like he's like strapped around her or something. Like, do you remember that?
Yeah, there's moments where like, you know, they deploy their parachutes and they're flying down, and at one point one guy like glides down on top of another person's parachute and like kind of like runs on it a little bit.
They're just like fucking with each other while they're like, you know, dangling thousands of feet above the earth, and then and then Busey comes over and just like steals him away and like leads him to what do you call it, like
a power
electric power plant.
Hey,
God damn it! Let me go! Let me go! You son of a bitch!
It's all over! I'm back!
No!
Yeah, he just makes him, he makes him crash head first into like a power plant, and he's just like electrocuted. Like the only thing this movie was missing is like a shot of like his skeleton, you know, from the electrocution. Yeah, and he just lands on, it's like a transformer. He lands on, he's just like, blah,
and he's like, you son of a bitch.
That's what he says. He says, hey, Ty, what are you doing? Like, he says that one point. And then when they're flying down, he's like, hey, Ty.
Ty is the Gary Busey character.
And that's one
of the craziest names. The Gary Busey's bad guy name is Ty Moncrief.
That's such a, like, Simpsons bad guy name. Ty Moncrief. I wonder if Moncrief has got to be like an anagram for like someone the writer knew or something. Yeah.
Anyway, they all land, and I love how like everyone else is like, "Oh, okay, hell, I guess you had to kill that guy." Like nobody in the rest of the team gives a shit. They're like, "All right."
Well, no, then he that's when he does the famous line that he's 9/11 isn't going to work for him. and then it's
so
fun,
crazy.
It's one of these things where like. Not Busey, Wesley kind of like gets is in between this. He's like getting to know other people that are skydivers also.
Well, this is the point. This is the Point Break part of the movie.
Yeah. And he kind of starts joining them. And then when they tell like, oh, like there's a whole scene where like they're at a bar and there's so much shit in this movie where they like do like a chant, like in Top Gun or something. They say blue skies and no. Blue.
They find out that one of their own has died,
and that's the guy that got electrocuted. And they're saying, "Blue skies, black death." They like cheer it every hour because, and they're like, and then the girl, the hot girl that Wesley Snipes is hanging out with, explains what's going on, and then they tell her like this guy got electrocuted, and he's like, "How could he do that? He has training. He would never land on a electric."
I have a note that I loved. So honestly, one of my favorite things about this movie was the skydiving community aspect of it. Like it reminded me of Roadhouse, where it's like this is a fake world where like bouncers are a thing, and like a Kansas City bouncer is like, oh, you know about that bouncer in Manhattan? That's like a legendary bouncer, you know. So one of the things in the community that I do love is they had this moment where they in this scene they ring a bell. Because someone died. They have this bell that they ring while someone died while skydiving. And yeah, they like do the thing where they ring the bell, and they have like all the lingo for like, oh, he like, I forget what they say, but they do say like, they call crashing something. Like they don't call it just like he died while skydiving.
Well, they do the whole blue skies, black death.
Burden, drink some. Blue skies,
black death.
What the hell is that?
Means some skydiver somewhere burned in today.
What does that mean?
As in crash landed. Dead. They're gonna ring that bell and raise a toast every hour till midnight.
Great tradition.
I like this group that he gets with Yancey Butler, and then we also get I remember their character names, like Swoop is a big character.
Swoop,
they get, like,
yeah.
I put down Swoop as a fuck boy. I put that.
Swoop
he's
is
like
such
this
a
crazy guy that they find like I guess he's working as a window washer or something, and they're like, hey, do you want to jump with us? You know, like we need a jumper to help us with the big 4th of July. Jump.
Oh, we didn't even say what the totally normal heist is. So the heist is the way that they explain it is on July 4th, Washington, D.C. relaxes its air security because there's all the fireworks going off. And so that's the perfect time to do some sick drops. All the skydiving community can't. They live for July 4th in
it's
Washington,
D.C. It's the biggest drop in the country.
This makes no sense. I'm sure is not the case. And why would people care about dropping in like to D.C. that much? Like, wouldn't you want to like drop into the Grand Canyon or something? Like, it just doesn't seem like if I'm a skydiver, I would particularly care about dropping into anywhere in DC.
Like presented as like a competition that they're in as well.
Yeah, there's like a target and stuff.
Yeah, and there's like people grading them. It's like, okay, yeah, they get 10 points. Ooh, 10 points. You know, it's, like you said, there's so much shit in this movie.
So much shit. Well, we didn't even talk, like, so when Snipes, it's like, you know, the scene when he like pulls up to like the, he's trying to find out about these skydivers and like Laura Palmer's mom like has a little pink plane that she lands and like, it's like smoking. And then a bunch of people get on it. Like, they're like, okay, yeah, well, like the students and stuff. Like, I'm not getting on that fucking plane that's smoking, you know? Even Laura Palmer's mom that's just crying for two seasons is flying it. But I don't know. It was weird. But it's you're right. It's so many tropes and so weird. It's so many things.
Well, and I think you nailed it with the editing because, like, with one fun thing about Point Break is you really. You get why Keanu Reeves gets attached to these people. It's like a mindset that they have. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you just got to be cool and live like this. You know, like he gets attached to that. He gets attached to the people. He gets a love affair with
Lori Petty.
Lori Petty. Yeah. You know, and also he learns how to surf. It's like a big moment when he triumphantly learns how to surf. With this, it just feels like it skips those moments.
We get a montage of Wesley Snipes. Well, there's a full montage with wailing guitar while he's like,
he does like the
yeah, he's
the
doing
ground.
The training thing, and it's literally one scene where he's like bad at it and everyone's like, man, this guy sucks, and then it cuts to him and he's all of a sudden good at it and they're like,
yes,
okay,
I
guess he's
like
got
it. Those moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't. They do it, but it feels like going through. It's literally a montage set to wailing guitar, and like that's it. It doesn't feel like earned. It does feel like out of nowhere.
This culminates in him. You know, they figure out what's happening. I know where he's going to do. I know where he's going. He's going to the DEA building. You know, it's right over where this drop zone is at the 4th of July thing. And it works up to a point where he. Well, it doesn't work up to a point. Suddenly, just at the end of the movie, he's like, I'll jump out without a parachute, or I'll jump out and go.
Now he has a parachute. He's like, I know one trick. And he's like, I know a move, like, which is basically I can grab her and release my parachute.
Which was like what happened when he got jumped out without a parachute the first time around.
Yeah. They jumped him out of the plane and then she went after him with a parachute and caught him. And that's what he does with her.
Yeah. I think they have to either, with a movie like this, I think you either got to have him be like, oh, he's a natural. And people have got to be like, I've never, like, people are in awe. Like, I've never seen a dropper like this before. Like, oh my God. Or he's like really bad and he's like never going to get it. And then that one scene, maybe at the end where he finally does, is sort of like triumphant. It's like, oh my God.
Yes.
Like, he's like, I'm going to go down there even though I know I've failed every time.
You're crazy. You're
not
equipped.
You can't do it. And then that's the one time he does it. Like, it's got to be one or the other of those, I think.
Should it be like, I mean, I was thinking, it's funny to keep preparing to Point Break because Keanu is sort of like stoic in that movie. And then you have Busey kind of like funny and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and so it's like Snipes is trying to do both kind of thing a little bit, if that makes sense.
Well, and also to speak to the Busey of it all, I don't feel like he's allowed to go full Busey in this movie. I mean, he has a few lines, but like compared to
even
like...
He doesn't seem
like
he's in it that much in a weird way.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like
we
didn't get enough Busey.
I respectfully disagree. I feel like he goes relative... Like, I mean, I think what full Busey is was not Busey at this time. Like, it took him a few years to mature into full Busey. But I think he's giving what I wanted from a Gary Busey.
I thought he was going to be like his partner. Like, and I was like, damn, he's really typecast. It is like the partner.
Did you think he was going to be the Swayze like stand-in kind of thing?
I mean, that's what he is kind of a little, isn't he?
I think the girl Jesse is kind of like the
I don't know what I thought
Swayze.
This is what I thought in the beginning of the movie when he shows up on the plane. I was like, oh, he's another marshal that is like watching the other marshals. That was my theory is what it was. And then he ended up being like the bad guy. And he is like an informant though, isn't he? Like the FBI.
He's a former DEA agent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's fully a bad guy. He's just like he's from the DEA.
I thought there was gonna be like a twist with that, but
there was one funny moment aside from the 9/11 moment, which is funny for not funny, but like, you know, we do the Leo gift for other.
Funny.
For other reasons, but there's a moment
that's
overtly
funny. I think we
can,
Dave, I think you were very clear. 9/11 is funny. That's what you think.
You know, it's really come back around. It's a real funny thing. But no. I think one of the things that was overtly funny that actually did make me laugh that is a Busey, I feel like it lets Busey be Busey, is when they do their first heist to show, like, these buyers, like, yeah, we're going to give this one to you for free to show you that we can do this.
Yeah.
There's a moment where they break into the computer place. A piece of paper gets knocked off a table. And it's almost like posited to be this thing like, oh, if they don't forget to put that paper back, like someone's going to know that they were here stealing data. And as they leave, Busey goes back into the room. He grabs the piece of paper off the floor, puts it back on the table, and he literally says, stay. He points at the paper and says, stay.
Dave, is this the scene where they have like the security outfits that they're all like, they're dressed as like the... Like, they're going in with, like, a yes. security guard. Okay, yes. I did have a note on this. Ryan, I'm hoping you clock this, too. There's a... As they're beginning the drop in this scene, they're dressed like security guards, and we see the security guards they're about to kill, you know, kind of going about their, you know, getting ready, you know, like, checking the cameras, and they're, like, they're watching Star Trek.
Oh, that loved that moment. This is where I'm like, why isn't there more of this in the movie?
That So there's the whole Star Trek thing going on, which is cool, but that's not what I wanted to bring up. What I want to bring up is there's a shot to a woman security guard who is making the best looking sandwich. It's like she's making like a cartoon Tom and Jerry, like piled high sandwich. She's like spraying like mustard on it and like putting it together. And it was like a loving shot of that sandwich. And it was such a like, I haven't seen a sandwich like that in real life. Like,
this
it's
is the second thing that Mike had to rewind the movie for.
Yeah, this is the second thing I was like, oh my God, I want that sandwich so bad.
The tape is getting worn out with that. This is like Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah.
BB Kate's scene.
That was literally one of the few notes I took in this movie was the sandwich the security woman made looked incredible.
And I was sad when they shoot her.
Yeah, later. They shoot her. Like, I know. She didn't get to eat the sandwich.
Well, that scene, isn't that the thing where they're watching Star Trek and he says, so many wigs. I was trying to figure out how this is related
they're
to the
all
movie.
Wearing wigs in that yeah. show. Like, not Spock.
Yeah,
that's such a weird line. Such
and
a weird
goes,
line.
And then the guy goes, "What the hell are you talking about?"
Yeah,
which I think is really funny, and because it is like, why is this in the movie? Like, what the hell are you? And I was like, this is a different thing that's going on in this corner of the movie, and I'm like, why isn't there more of this? Because that was funny. I thought
reveals nothing. I suggest his mind has been so conditioned as part of a preconceived plan.
God damn! Look at this dweeb. You think by the 23rd century they'd have better toupees than that?
They all wear wigs on that show.
Not Spock. He got the ears. How could it
profit us? What the hell are you talking about?
You know a better movie? A better movie after they killed that... I just thought of this. I'm still thinking of the sandwich. After they killed the security guard, on the way out, Gary Busey would have gotten the sandwich and taken a bite of it. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Too much mustard. She put too much mustard on his...
Yeah, I don't know. That for some reason, that guy going, "What are you talking about?" like made me feel like it really made the movie for me. I don't know.
That whole sequence, it is like this is though. I like it, and it also makes me think of that editing in this movie, like because it does like I love the sandwich, but it is like we linger on it for a little bit, and just like it, but it's also in the middle of like the first action scene we really have gotten since the beginning of the movie too. So it's just like it's just messy. It's a little messy.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. But I will say, like the you know, there are I got to give props to this movie. There were a couple moments where I full on cheered.
You said yeah.
Okay.
What are these moments?
I full on cheered because like they finally leaned into the B movie 90s action of it all, and it's during the climax at the DEA facility where you know the final heist takes place. Wesley Snipes has already jumped from the one plane and grabbed I forget her name. I know her the actress's name is Yancey Butler. He grabs her without a parachute. They fall down and they're like, "Okay, guys," like, and they got the rest of their crew with them, like, "Let's get these sons of bitches." You know what I mean? They killed whatever that guy's name was. He went into the power lines. Let's get revenge. And
they killed Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yeah. Well, they go in and they have this fight with Busey's crew. And there's a moment where Yancey Butler, this is a trope that we don't see anymore because like printing machines and faxing machines and Xeroxes, like, they're not really, I mean, they're around.
Oh,
but they're not,
I know what you're
thing.
Talking about. I
it's
know,
when he
yep.
smashes her face on the Xerox machine. And in this moment, I'm thinking, please, God, let us get a joke gag where, like, her face is, like, printing out paper, and it does. And I, oh my God, it like she smashes the glass on the thing, like, poosh, like, and it just prints it out. And like, I cheered. I stood up. I cheered.
Who's the other woman besides Yancey? Isn't this two women fighting? There's Yancey
yeah,
Butler.
Yeah.
They
look similar. At first, I thought for some reason, I was like, is that the same girl at the beginning? You know,
I remember, I was just thinking, like, is this, it feels very like we have Sarah Connor at home, is like the vibe of like this action sequence.
I yeah. don't know her name.
Yeah. It's at one point I was just like, are they going to make it like they know each other or something, or their sisters?
Well, they kind
or,
of are aware do. Of they, each they other do, because yeah. of the skydiving community.
The skydiving community thing, it drives me, it's so crazy. You're right, like, they all do look like they're from Roadhouse, like, these, like,
yeah.
with, like, you know, bald heads and, like, just, like, beer guts, and then just the hottest woman in imaginable, basically.
Dude, I will say, dude, I was, Yancey Butler, like, I will say she's actually good in this movie. Like, she's got, like, energy, and she feels like she's proficient in skydiving, you know what I mean? I don't know. I thought she brought a fun
I love her, like, zipping up, like, before she, like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something about that. Something about a lady putting on, like, a big jumpsuit and zipping up is pretty. sorry. It's nice.
Huh. Learned something about Ryan today.
I thought it was great when she does that, when she does the cool Xerox face smashing kill moment. That was pretty awesome. And then we get our second cheer scene for me. And it's at the end when Wesley Snipes grabs Goosey. They fly out the window, and Snipes is able to deploy his parachute, and Busey, like a missile dummy, flies through the windshield of the getaway truck that they have. It is the funniest thing. And the car ends up, like, colliding and crashing with, like, a pole or something. But it is so, this Gary Busey dummy at the end of the movie is so great.
Yeah.
Again, you don't get that in movies anymore. We don't get dummies anymore. Like, there's a great tangible quality about a dummy. And the fact whenever you see it in movies, like when the dummy's falling from a high distance, at one point invariably, the arm of the dummy will, like, unnaturally fly behind the head, you know?
A floppy.
There's such
a floppiness.
Charm to that we don't get anymore. That's so sad.
There was a good bit at the we had transmission from the 2026 Oscars of Conan jumping out of the car, like,
yes!
one battle, and it was a dummy
and it turns into a dummy, and it looks so great.
Yeah.
It's almost as like if it's a dummy, like, you could tell, like, your brain tells you it's a dummy, and it's almost like it's okay, it was just a dummy, you know what I mean? Because if it was a real person, like, oh God, I can't see that.
It's
almost...
That's funny.
There's comfort in the dummy.
There's a level of comfort. You're like, oh, it's a dummy, but still look cool.
It's one of my favorite things about a lot of the James Bond movies we've seen is the dummy work.
Yes.
What else do I have note wise? Let me see.
It's like the same sort of thing. Like, I would rather see a dummy, like, you know, take the impact of something like that. It's the same thing where, like, I would honestly rather see a moment where it's obviously a stuntman doing a stunt and not, like, you know, them digitally putting the actor's face on someone else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those damn inserts. They gotta just not do those inserts. Why do they feel like they need to have those in there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there are shots where I'm like, oh, clearly that's a stunt, man. Like, just do that. You know what I mean? Or they're skydiving. Just put, like, a helmet on them, or, like, you know, glasses to distort that it's not actually them.
Yeah, it's like those close-ups of, like, it's almost like the sky changes, and you see her, yeah. like, you know, flying. Yeah.
Well, it looks like an insert shot from, like, Superman or something. You know, like a special effects shot. Like, they're flying.
Yeah, and then, but like I said, those shots, though, Busey just in his little straps is very
just, like,
funny.
Just
he looks like,
by
he looks like a killer.
Without a care of the world.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm going to kill this fucker, and he looks so crazy. So that works. I think those little inserts are, it's the flying ones, or this.
Oh, you know, I did have a note. Speaking of inserts, there was some establishing shots of of the reflective pond in front of the Washington Monument. And there is some wild random shit that we see. At one point, there's like a fire handler in the water, and then it cuts to someone riding a bicycle in the water.
I think what they're trying to convey is the sense of anarchy that is happening on July 4th. It's just like, hey, security's loosened. Normally, the Secret Service would be tackling someone who's jumping in the Washington Monument Mall or whatever, but right now it's like, hey, we could just be twirling fire. Who cares?
Oh, there's one scene we forgot to mention. At one point, Gary Busey and them realized that, we got a U.S. Marshal. He's the guy that was on the plane. Like, we got to kill him or whatever. And they try to sabotage the Yancey Butler's, like, pack or something. But she ends up giving it to someone else in their crew. And another harrowing kind of scene, because I actually, like you, Mike, kind of got attached to this crew that he joins up with. At one point, like, he can't deploy a chute, and like this, it's like this triumphant scene. It's not even Wesley Snipes doing. Wesley Snipes is not even in this scene. There's a moment where the other guy, that the degenerate guy we see earlier, swoops in, and it's this triumphant moment where you think he's going to save this guy with the sabotaged parachute. But he doesn't. The guy still falls into the water. He smacks the water. They're able to save him. But it's like, it's a harrowing scene. And Wesley Snipes is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
It's like, what is this movie doing?
There's the while where, like, he is gone for a bit. And then, and then it's like, pulls up like in a nice car. And he has, like, new glasses on and, like, a jacket. And I'm like, he looks cool as hell. But I'm like, this is a different guy. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, is there like scene missing from the?
Yeah, I think you nailed something. This movie is very poorly edited.
Just that and just tone. It's tone shifts and stuff, or not? I mean, tone management is what I'm thinking of.
Agreed.
But like, I don't know. There's parts that you're right that like little sparks of like
that were genuinely thrilling,
and like, you know, some good acting other than whatever's going on with Snipes. But he's just on a bad day, I guess. But the
bad shoot.
Yeah, but. I don't know. Yeah, it maybe could have been something. You know, maybe him not having a partner is like an issue, maybe, or something. I don't know what it is.
But you're right. He just oscillates between, like, whenever he has to fight, you're like, oh, that's the Snipes I know. You know what I mean? When he goes full John Wick on somebody. But then,
like I said, like, there's these weird humor things, like the Spock thing, where I'm like,
that's a different movie.
Really funny. It's a different movie. I don't know. And I was just trying to figure out, like, why this the wigs and why Star Trek? Like, why, how's that related? Like, I was just like, what's, like, the irony of this? Like, I don't know, like, or whatever, like, the foreshadowing of this moment. Like, nothing.
It's literally nothing.
Yeah.
Because there's no moment where, like, is it suggesting that, like, oh, don't be fooled by these people in security outfits. They're not actually security people.
Is that what? But they're not wearing wigs or anything. I don't know.
But they're not wearing, the disguise, I guess. Well, yeah, but the wigs aren't disguises.
But they're not even wearing, they're just wearing the suits. They're not even.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
It's nothing. It's literally nothing. It's just color.
I guess it's expanding the world and stuff. I do. There's that pink plane, though, you know. I don't know.
Let's not forget the pink plane. I didn't really have too many other notes on this movie. Did you guys have any closing thoughts?
The only kind of miscellaneous note I had was about the sandwich. So, yeah, it's a mess. There might be a movie here. I think, like, you really, if they had just leaned into like the anime-ness and the roadhouse, you know, subculture of the drop zone-y skydiving community, maybe there's something there, but it's like
you're right. It needs to be like less serious, even though it's not very serious at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost needs to go even farther into like Disney Channel original movie or something, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Which it's crazy that one of the writers did it. So like, in a way I'm like, oh, this feels. Like, there was one we watched on the old, it's on, like, DCOM, was one that we'd never seen before. What, it was, like, a surf thing? Let me see. And it needed something, like, a juice, some kind of.
Well, also, like, remember in Point Break, there's a romantic tension between Reeves and Lori Petty. That's not present here. Like, there's nothing romantic going on between Snipes and Yancey Butler.
No, you're right. That would be something to latch on to.
And,
like,
and also, she knows he's used to be a U.S. Marshal. So there's no tension there.
I mean, he has the motivation of his dead brother, but that's like, it doesn't feel like enough. I guess maybe because we don't really know the brother that well. Like, we just see him die at the beginning and like, okay, I get it. You want revenge on your brother.
Yeah, there's only really one scene of them like driving and they look like they're driving through like the end of Seven, you know?
And then, you know, this movie really made me want to rewatch Point Break. Like, Point Break is so good. It's such a good movie.
It is written and directed by a pretty great person, like the right person, you know,
Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah, so it's like,
Catherine Bigelow? She didn't write Point Break, did she?
She did.
I think she did with Cameron.
Yeah.
The screenplay is credited to someone else.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I thought she.
Maybe they like came up with the story or something.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I'm pretty sure Cameron was involved with the story for Point Break somehow.
I guess it does say story, but she didn't. Yeah, I thought she did write it, but anyway, yeah, I agree with you, and it's like I guess that's why Point Break is still caught on, and this hasn't, you know, because it had the right juice and the right kind of combination of stuff. But yeah, you're right that there's not that mysticism that you know is missing.
Yeah, there needs to be, like, that's a huge point, Ryan. Good point. Like, there needs to be someone, you need the scene where they're, like, at the drop zone bar or whatever, and it's, like, quiet, and someone, like, one of the women, Yancey, or, like, looks over to Wesley and is like, there's nothing like feeling when you're dropping in the zone.
Yeah.
You know, like, the wind in your hair. You need that moment. Like, you know, just you in the clouds or, you know, the mysticism of the drop.
The only thing you can hear is your own beating heart, you know.
And the sounds of your screams or whatever.
And then, you're right. That was only one scene with his brother. And then we're kind of, like, in it with Wesley. Like, this is when I knew something was wrong, and it's when the cop is showing up to take his badge and his gun, and he's like doing like research and stuff, trying to figure stuff out. And it was already like he was in action, and I'm like, I don't feel like I know who this guy is yet.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that was where I knew that something was up. Like where he was like, there feels like there's like a whole part missing. Cause remember when the hijack happens, he's like talking to the pilot, like they're getting a warning that there's going to be like a hijacking or something like
that. What was that about?
And so he's like missing from the action for a little bit, and then he like comes like, oh, there's stuff going on out back there.
Yeah,
like and so that's a weird moment, like where I'm like, those two moments where I'm like, something's off with the equation here.
And when you add in the fact that it's like he's either John Wick in some scenes or bumbling fool in others, you're like, this isn't adding up.
Yeah, it's too bad, because I mean, I think you're right that this maybe could have, I mean, if Point Break didn't exist, maybe, but like, you know, this could have been maybe some, at least kind of a memorable.
It just needed some like adjustments. It just needed a little fine tuning here and there.
It does. You're right. I think it does feel like one of those things, like we got to make a freaking, a violent action movie with skydivers. Quick. Let's do it. You know,
quick.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess like, yeah, like, I mean, it's funny cause we're, I guess because it's a remake, but Fast and the Furious, that first one, is very similar vibes to this too, a little bit.
Yeah. I was thinking of Fast and Furious too.
There's like a thing more similar to Point Break, Fast and Furious.
Well,
like,
I guess I think that's even credited as a remake, though. Like, I think, I think.
Well, they really hammer in that thing of like he's undercover and he's like getting with, you know, this group, and it's a way of life and this that, and other thing. Drop Zone doesn't have that.
Like, and it has that realization.
Yeah,
that,
I mean, Fast and Furious has so much like scenes where it's like they're lovingly talking about cars and Dominic Toretto's like, I live my life
they're
a quarter mile
the,
at a time. Yeah, there's no scene where Gary Busey's like, I live my life a drop at a time. Like,
And then like, there's also like that.
Now I want to watch Fast and Furious.
Yeah, like I just saw like on a Instagram reel. It was like the scene where like toward the end where they're like, there's an accident and then it's when Vin realizes that Paul Walker's a cop when he's like calling for backup and stuff like that. And it's like, makes me chills just thinking about it, you know? And so it's like there's nothing like that in this either, you know, like this like realization that the character didn't have, you know, type of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for getting into recommendations, I mean, I'm sorry, Drop Zone. I mean, I know your biggest claim to fame is that you once had a room at the Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I want to know. So I wouldn't recommend the movie either, but I want to know, Ryan, would you recommend the Drop Zone room at the Planet Hollywood?
Yeah.
I will say it's a really cool hotel. I think if I'm remembering correctly, I don't know if it's still there, but Gordon Ramsay's Burger was at this hotel.
If it's not there, there's another Gordon Ramsay restaurant that I'm sure is nearby.
I'm sure, but it was. I remember having that, and I'm like, oh my God, it's so good. Because it was like two ingredients on this burger.
Tell me about it. What were the two ingredients?
I can't remember, but I just remember there being only like a couple things. I don't even think there was like really maybe even a sauce on it. It was just like a few things, and it was just so good.
Do you remember the kind of bun? We got seeds, brioche, you know, what are we talking about? Butter?
I remember it being a thick burger, too. Like, it was not smash. You know,
is this your time before you recognize the worth of the rodeo burger, where you're just like, I just want a plain burger?
No, this is halfway after. This is like me. I'm like an adult, like, at this time.
Okay. So this is after Small Soldiers came out. The rodeo burger was debuted.
I am just glad to close the loop on Drop Zone, I would say. I just want to.
It's
like,
been hounding me. I haven't been able to sleep at nights.
I'm gonna actually look up if anybody has any pictures of the Drop Zone room.
Yeah, I'd love to get those and post them on our Instagram.
Because it was like a plain hotel room with like Wesley Snipes on the wall, and you're like, what the fuck?
And
like,
that's kind of it.
instead of like the art, like the weird, like, you know, there's probably thousands of these pictures on the wall. This hotel, it's. Like two Drop Zone posters and stuff.
And that's essentially it. Yeah. That's lazy. That's when they were at the end of the road. They're like, what do we do? We already used up all the big movies.
I'm trying to find.
Like, at this point, we just need to find any movie with a notable star on it so we can slap it on the walls.
That's the thing, though, is that I think even in those I mean, I don't know if this is related anymore, but to the restaurants, is like Drop Zone merch stuff would be at a Planet Hollywood, probably. You know what I mean? Like, it was like crappy. They had the Stallone Demolition Man naked guy. Maybe they would have like you know, maybe one prop that you're like, oh, cool. They have like the Riddler suit from Batman Forever.
You know what I think that Drop Zone. You know what I think that tells me? I think that just dates when whatever corporation that owned Planet Hollywood invested money into the company. It was around this, around 94 or whatever. Like, it's just, they
94,
they,
95.
Yeah, they invested money to build the rooms in 94 or 95 and then didn't after that.
Well, I'm looking at like I just put in like even like Planet Hollywood hotel themed rooms, and the only thing I can see is like Rocky on a like in a bathroom. Like, I can't find anything.
Well, when Airpearl returns, we'll be looking at the other 1994 skydiving movie, Terminal Velocity. And it just occurred to me, the four movies we are covering for Airpearl, it's one of those things where it's like two similar movies in the same year. We had Air Force One, Con Air in 1997, and now 1994, we have Drop Zone and Terminal Velocity. It's just funny how that works out sometimes with movie years.
This is another one. I'm like, wow, I don't think I even knew this one either. We're really getting to the bottom of the barrel here.
Well, I have seen Terminal Velocity, and I think I could say confidently that you guys will enjoy this movie more than Drop Zone.
Okay, cool.
It's Charlie Sheen and an old favorite of ours from back in the day when we watched Cat People, Natasha Kinski.
Ooh. Wow.
It looks like,
you know, I don't know if I've ever seen a Charlie Sheen movie.
You've seen a Charlie Sheen movie. You have to have. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
He's in that?
Yeah, he's the drugged out guy.
He's the one that's hitting on his sister. It's the hottest shit ever, you know? I don't know. What else have you maybe seen?
Well, the episode's
probably
over.
Never seen Andrew Lee.
No.
This will be the stinger of this episode. Like, I've never seen a Charlie Sheen movie. Platoon?
No.
Hot Shots?
No.
Wall Street?
I've seen Wall Street.
Well, there we go.
Scary Movie 3? Scary Movie 3?
I've seen Scary Movie 2.
Season 3, 4, and 9.
I've seen the trailer to Scary Movie 3.
All right, so audience, rest assured, we're going into Terminal Velocity. You can now know that Mike has seen a Charlie Sheen movie going into Terminal Velocity.
Oh, everyone was on the edge of their seat.
He's in Being John Malkovich, but he plays himself, I guess. I forgot about that.
All right, I've seen that.
2 and a Half Men.
The TV show? That's not a movie. And I've never seen that.
Actually, neither have I.
Navy SEALs.
Navy SEALs!
Ooh, Navy SEAL.
How did I do? Oh, come on. What's with him? I jumped with him. What's the deal?
I don't think he counts what you just did as a jump. He's kind of funny that way.
Well, what kind of other jump is there? There's only one kind of jump. And I did a sweet one, if I must say.